SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live on Sports Grid, Game Time Decisions. It is a Monday night. I'm Kevin Walsh with you, and joining us now is Joe Madden. Joe, a busy weekend full of college basketball. I am sure, though, you remain locked in on the NHL slate, and we're hitting two games tonight. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Kevin. Yeah, it was an exciting weekend out there on the ice as well as in college basketball. Some great games. So looking forward to tonight's slate. Only two games, but don't worry. We've got 12 tomorrow, Kevin.
Cannot wait to go through all of the NHL. And also, Joe will join us throughout baseball as well. Joe Madden, a big baseball bettor. We'll get to that when there's time. But let's start it off here with the games, and then we'll get to some of the specials markets. St. Louis and Vegas, the Golden Knights. Better than minus 150 on the road in this game. Total 6.5, but the juice right now is pushing towards the under, Joe. How are you playing this first game?
Yeah, rightly so, this one pushing towards the under, because you look at the goaltending matchup here. Logan Thompson is in net for the Vegas Golden Knights and the St. Louis Blues, giving the start to Jordan Binnington. I think both of these goaltenders can absolutely stand on their head tonight. Looking at Jordan Binnington, he has a 2.85 goals against average and a 9.12 save percentage. His save shots on goal tonight, Kevin, is just too low at 29.5, so I am looking for him to be able to go over that number. The last time versus Vegas, Vegas was able to put up 48 shots on him. He did allow five to go in, but stopped 43 of those. So 29.5 seems too light. Now, the St. Louis Blues, I do think, will stand up more defensively in this one, but I'm still expecting Vegas to hit closer to the 35 shots. In this game, though, I think all the value is sitting here with the St. Louis Blues. We look at these two teams. St. Louis is trailing Vegas for that last wild card spot by 4 points. They desperately need this win. And this is a team that is so much stronger on their home ice than they are out there on the road. They've won five of their last six home games, and this team's home record sitting 21-12-1. I do think they have every opportunity to be able to pull off the win, but it's not going to be easy out here versus the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas is losing grasp of the wild card spot. They desperately do want to make a repeat here. If they'll have enough, I'm not sure if they will, Kevin, but I do think this game is so tight that it goes to OT. We've already seen one of these matchups so far this season. Of the two games that they've played, go to overtime. This one to go to overtime is coming in at plus 350. I also like the game to go under 1.5 in that first period. I do think defense and goaltending is the name of this game tonight. So give me the under 1.5 in the first period. Give me the St. Louis Blues on the money line as well as this game to go to overtime at that plus 350 mark.
All right, we are set up there for game number one, Vegas and St. Louis. Of course, our radio audience is here on a Monday night, SiriusXM, channel 159, all across the Sports Grid Network, Game Time Decisions. Kevin Walsh talking to Joe Madden about a two-game of NHL slate here. And, Joe, the second game, it's Vancouver and L.A. The Kings are a road dog, as you would anticipate here, but not by a lot. Only plus 104 on their money line here at the moment, maybe dropping just a tick. 5.5 is your over-under. What do you like in this game?
This is another game where it's going to be tight, Kevin, right out of the gate. I do look at this one to be a slow start of these offenses here. I'm going to take the no goal in the first 10 minutes. So no goal in the first 10 minutes coming in at nice plus money. Now, I'm not sure if I trust Casey DeSmith enough in net for the Vancouver Canucks for this full game to stay under that total. So I'm going to stay off the full. But I do expect the defense here of the Vancouver Canucks to do enough to start this one. And you look at Cam Talbot. Cam Talbot is expected in goal for the LA Kings. No confirmation yet. His road record versus the Canucks in Vancouver is phenomenally strong. He rolls in 4-2-2 in those eight games with a 2.01 goals against average and a 9.23 save percentage. So I am counting on Cam Talbot to do what he's done before in Vancouver, which is stand on his head. And then Casey DeSmith in this one to do enough in that first period to really limit the LA Kings. Now you're looking at two defenses that are phenomenally strong out there. The LA Kings only allowing that average of 2.54 goals per game. third best overall in the league. And you look at the Vancouver Canucks, 2.63, which is the fourth. Both of these teams have strong kills as well out there on the ice. So the no goal in the first 10 minutes at plus 106. And then I am looking at the Kings here on the money line. I love the plus money that we're getting on them at plus 112. They have one of the best road records of any team in the league, going 20-11-4 on the road. I think you could also lean to the under 1.5 in the first period, but I don't like it as much as that no goal in the first 10. And then another game here. Too much is on the line between these two teams. We have the LA Kings sitting third in the Pacific and the Vancouver Canucks on their long home stance here sitting first. I do think this is another opportunity to go to overtime. Now, depending on your books, that's coming in anywhere from plus 330 to plus 350. And I do think this is going to be tight to the very end, Kevin. And that's another reason, with this one being a 5.5, that I just can't look at the full game to the under, even though I do lean there, because this could get tied up 3-3, push us to that over and go into OT here.
All right, Joe, I want to ask you now about some of the league specials with the time we have left here around the NHL and their top superstars. And one that's been talked about and continuously moved down is Nathan MacKinnon to record one plus point in each of 41 Avalanche home games. Obviously, if this is up, he's still done it. There are seven remaining. It is plus 300. Is that a worthwhile bet for hockey bettors?
It absolutely is. You look at Nathan MacKinnon here, and even more motivation for him right now with Nikita Kucherov and him battling it out for the leading goal scorer in, or leading point scorer on the season. So I do think looking at him at plus 300, so much value here. His teammates and him do know that he is chasing this number and has every opportunity of cashing. So I would look at Nathan MacKinnon at plus 300. I think you're getting great odds there.
And I think you could probably find under half a point if it gets down towards the back stretch of the season and potentially look towards the under. Joe, what about Austin Matthews? They have up 65-plus goals, 70-plus goals, and then a big number on 75-plus goals here. Of course, it has slowed down a bit for Austin Matthews, still the league leader, sitting at 58. How high do you think Matthews could get with his goal tally?
I think he can get to that 70 number, Kevin. That's the number I feel most confident with. I think if anything, it's probably hitting right around that 72 mark. 75, just a little bit too ambitious. But you look at Austin Matthews, and he is chasing those records. He's another player that is so strong and so competitive out there. They also have him playing up to his opponents. He plays down in some of those lower games, but you look at the schedule so far for the rest of the season out, and he's really gonna have to make a difference in these matchups. And I do think 72 goals, so I would take the 70 plus goals on the season.
And then, Joe, the last one here is McDavid for 110 plus assists at plus 370. He's currently at 91. I believe 14 games remain for Edmonton.
As a Flames fan, I say absolutely not. I don't want to see Connor McDavid get to that number. As a bettor, though, I don't know if he does, Kevin. I think there's going to be a point he steps up, he starts getting these goals himself further down the stretch. Okay. So I wouldn't take his assist to the over.
All right. Still some plus money out there, Joe. We appreciate it as always. We'll be right back. Game time decisions on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on SportsGrid. It's game time decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Mr. Clemson himself, Joe Lisi. Joe, ready for this? How did it feel to watch the Tigers take down the Bears?
Oh, feeling good, Kev. That was a smash special. Never even needed the 4.5. Unbelievable. No. Plus 152 at the start of the tip. Money line. How about them Tigers? They stepped up. Go big orange.
Now, Fino Joe Lisi. You know, I'm just looking right now. First game in the round of Sweet 16. Arizona, Clemson, +6.5. Have you already, is there a sizzle on the board, or you got to let it come to you?
Yeah, I have to break this game a little bit down, a little bit deeper. I love the kid Hall. I love the way their bigs played against Baylor. Again, Arizona, I'm not big on. I think they're a glass house. I know they're, you know, playing well right now heading into this matchup, but I still might take the points with the Clemson Tigers. Even though this line is indicative of potentially Arizona, I might take the points with Clemson and even sprinkle it on the money line.
Now, I want to take a second here because Bracket Central was live throughout the weekend. And we were, I mean, in studio from, what, 12 to 8 between the days. It was a lot of fun. I was with the early crew. Joe was in that middle crew. And I know the both of us spent a lot of time looking at those live markets. And, you know, like Joe and I both, we love to fire. We love opportunities. But, you know, we're invested. We're involved. And you all of a sudden can find some value. You can get an idea where these markets move. Because, look, these markets are not available on a February Saturday, Sunday slate. They're just not. So I'm curious, Joe, how did you find the live betting specials? Because I know you were enjoying getting involved with those throughout the 4 hours of coverage you did Saturday and, of course, Sunday as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was Saturday was much better, Kevin. I told Ben yesterday I was shocked at the line movement, especially in that 5:30 slate on Saturday between Michigan State and North Carolina. The line fluctuated so much, Kev. 3.5 pre-tip in favor of Carolina. They fall behind, but they were down by 5. It was basically a pick 'em, right, with about like 13 minutes left in terms of the first half. You could have caught North Carolina when they were down 12 at a plus 8.5 number, almost plus 280 to 3-1 in terms of a money line. It was ridiculous in terms of how that line fluctuated. Which conversely is you look at the Washington State-Iowa State line, Iowa State falls behind 7-0. They trail for the first 10 minutes of that half, and they still were a minus 280, as high as a minus 400 money line winner in terms of that. That's absolute. That just goes to show you how the algorithm valued Iowa State versus Washington State and how much the algorithm bought into Tom Izzo and Michigan State. And I told you what I did in terms of the late window. Texas I took at 6-1 at halftime. You could have gotten Texas when they were down 5 with the ball with 3 minutes left. They got as high as 25-1 on the money line. They didn't win it, but they gave me the cash out almost 2.5-1 on the 6-1 bet. What would you have gotten on the 25-1 number?
You're walking home with, you know, half of it, right?
Unbelievable.
And that's, again, why you follow those live markets. And I know, you know, for you, the decision to cash out there, I guess, you know, mid-game came to your senses. This Rick Barnes team has something. Oh, I'm serious, though, because you bet against Tennessee and it ultimately works out.
Right.
They're matched up with Creighton. I don't know what you think of this Creighton team. I don't like them very much. Is that a game you've got a feel for yet?
No, not yet, because I'll tell you why. And whenever you back these teams that live and die by the three, you're praying that the momentum continues early on, right? And that is the one thing in terms of Creighton, why they've bowed out in recent years is that they were just cold. Now, I will say this. I do not love Rick Barnes and Tennessee in terms of a Sweet 16 type of matchup because they fail to live up to expectations. We saw this throughout the regular season. They bow out of the SEC tournament. They're laying 11.5 to a gutless Missouri team. They win but don't cover. They, down the stretch, they failed to cover a number of big spreads. So that is always a concern. I'd rather bet this game maybe from an in-game perspective once I get a feel in terms of how Creighton comes to play. Because if the threes are dropping early, I think Creighton could beat them.
Yeah, look, Creighton's ability to hit three gives them a chance against anyone. I'll admit that. I just don't like this team. I don't. I'll say I've started looking at this national player, the tournament market, and I'll expand on this in a bit. But the big three, Shireman, Alexander, and Kalkbrenner, are all 65-1. And I would say at the moment, well, Kalkbrenner's probably played the best. Shireman's probably played the worst, but it's close. The most important games in determining that for the trio will be moving forward, not looking backwards. If you feel strongly about one of those guys, I think that's going to matter. I'll say on Joe's Clemson Tigers, which for me, that's exactly what they are now. Chase Hunter, who's got 20-plus in each of the first two games, is booked at 210-1 to win player of the tournament. Compare that to P.J. Hall, who's down here at 130-1. I understand that, again, they're not going to hand this out entirely just based on what somebody did in the matchup against New Mexico, did in the matchup against Baylor, but these Clemson games were important, right? Ultimately, what Donovan Klingon does against Stetson doesn't matter as much as what Chase Hunter does in a game against New Mexico, where they're catching points. And, you know, Joe, that's one of the fascinating things about this market is who they're putting the respect on. And again, Chase Hunter with 20-plus in each of their first two games at 210-1 is a number where he's not getting any respect in this market.
No, you're right. I think you play this market based on who you feel is going to come through in terms of the Final Four, right? If you have another team, like a team that I don't have in the Final Four, I'll just give you an example. How about the kid McCain last night? I mean, 6 of 8 to start from three. That type of work, if he continues that hot shooting and Duke makes it to the Final Four, and more importantly, the national championship game, that's a kid that could steal the spotlight, right? Because we always talk about it in terms of the Heisman Trophy. It's the body of work. It's the story for potentially the previous season. Same thing in terms of these first two rounds. When you get a hot shooter, that could carry you, right? So that's something that I would look at. I typically don't jump into it because I'm really locked in terms of my Final Four. I still have my top four teams in the round of 16. I'm hoping to nail, you know, Marquette as who I picked to potentially win it all. I got a good number at 31-1, but you know, that's the way I would play it. If you're looking, that's a secondary option. If I don't think that maybe one of my players from the top four could steal it, maybe someone else, like I said, Duke with McCain, that kid is lights out right now.
Tell me, am I right here? Is it Marquette, Illinois, Bama, Gonzaga?
I have a ticket on Illinois, but my bracket is basically UConn, Marquette, Alabama, and Gonzaga. So that's what I have in terms of my Final Four. So I have all Final Four teams, and I have Marquette at 31-1. I have an Illinois ticket at 10-1 with a profit boost there. So hanging in.
How do you feel about Bama?
Again, you know, defensive team in terms of Grand Valley State, they can run it. They can play a little up, you know, slow down if they have to. They don't play a great defense, but I still like them. I think they're more under the radar this year than they were last year. More pressure on them. I equate Alabama to much like Gonzaga, playing with house money, Kev.
I think that's fair. And look, they handled their business in the first two rounds, and I think the North Carolina matchup, it works nicely for them. There's some value out there in the market in Bama. Talked about that before the Grand Canyon game. I hold a ticket on them from the preseason, but they have more juice, I think, than a lot of people give them credit for ultimately. Gonzaga's a similar situation. They have a lot of that juice. Joe, you know what? I might let you enjoy the rest of your night, pal. You know, as fun as this was, I have national title odds. There's a lot of stuff here I got to do. But he's live tonight, would you believe it or not? Mark Carver and Lisa, you catch him there at 8 p.m. Joe, appreciate it. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. We're live on Sports Grid. I'm just a little behind the curtain. Lisey was told he was going to be here with us for consecutive segments, and he only found out that he could go at the end of that, and he was busy. He said he had errands to run. We called him in last second, and his face, it warms my heart. I love the guy. He's the best. We're going to get to the player of the tournament odds. I went through all 16 left. Where there's value, where there's not, we'll go through that. Before we do that, again, tomorrow, Baseball Futures Show, really setting up the start of the season, and that's going to feature Craig Mish. I want to hear from him, though. Today, I got to speak to Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager of the Atlanta Braves, and here's a little snippet of their conversation from earlier today on Newswire.
Who shined to you this spring? And, you know, spring's kind of tight to sort of take those numbers into the regular season, but who did you see this spring that you really think we should be more focused on? Maybe somebody that's not been talked about that much heading into the season.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we have a lot of stars. So you can't be surprised. You know, we've signed a lot of these guys, so we obviously believe in them, right? But I'd say the guys that have had the best springs. Strider's had a phenomenal spring, but I know people still use this in the Cy Young conversation last year, but phenomenal spring. And Harris has had a phenomenal spring. But like you said, it doesn't always correlate, right? But these are two super talented guys. You know, and I would say conversely, the guys that didn't have great springs that are great players, I wouldn't lean in any of that as well. But I'd say those two guys have really jumped off the page this spring, wire to wire, have just had an exceptional spring.
And again, you will hear from Craig Mish tomorrow right here on Game Time Decisions, as well as Joe Pisapia, Donnie Wrightside, and a few others as we get set for the baseball season to begin. Let's talk player of the tournament. 16 teams left. Obviously, the winner of this award is coming from that. I would say it is impossible for anybody to win this without getting to the Final Four. Possibly the title game. You might be able to win it without winning a national championship, but I think that's true of only one player. And that is Zach Edey. I think it is possible that Zach Edey could win this award without winning the title. Purdue is plus 600. Edey is plus 650. There are occasions when we see this gap and we tell ourselves, oh, come on, just play Edey. There's no way it goes to anybody else. And then you go, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it when it's just plus 600? Is that, you know, if you're $100 better, are those $50 worth the chance that Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer steals it? In this instance, not only is it worth it, but if we get to the title game, let's just say it's Purdue and UConn, and Zach Edey is averaging, let's just say he sticks with what he's at, 26.5 points per game on 68% shooting, chipping in 3 blocks and 17.5 rebounds. Are you sure that it won't be split enough through UConn guys where Zach Edey can't win this award? Are you sure that if it's Arizona, who would be the favorite from that West region, that Caleb Love will play well enough to deserve to win this award over Zach Edey? I'm not. It depends where you are at right now with your futures wagers. Let's say you have none and you are only betting when the Sweet 16 begins. Zach Edey to win player of the tournament makes a world of sense. Anybody else is going to have to pull down this national title. That's the reality of it. So let's go through the teams. I've highlighted some, so I'm going to kind of move through some others quickly. Clemson, I don't see them winning a national title. Chase Hunter being 210-1 while P.J. Hall is 130-1 is wrong. Hunter's averaging 20-6 right now, 6 assists, while Hall's averaging 12.5-3. Ultimately, Hunter is a big part of the reason why they are here. I don't think either ticket is cashing. If you love this team to beat Arizona, then they could get to the Final Four because UNC from the ACC they can hang with. Bama is vulnerable enough now with the remaining teams. But you have to really like this team to beat Arizona to place that ticket. San Diego State. Ledee, you could convince me is a worthwhile bet for this reason. So Edey, right? Plus 600 Purdue, plus 650 Edey. Next to no gap. Ledee is right now 95-1 to win player of the tournament. The Aztecs are 75-1. Ledee is the only option. Averaging so far through two tournament games, 29 points, 9 rebounds. Next closest score is 13 per game. In no world do the Aztecs cut down the nets and Ledee does not win player of the tournament if it's an Aztec, since I've created that caveat that Edey could win it without a win. I think that's true. I think it's also true of Mark Sears. Alabama is 36-1 to win this title. Sears is at 55. Mark Sears is Edey level, connect level, clearly better than everybody else. Estrada, Wrightsell, you know, can help up. Grant Nelson's been abysmal so far in this tournament. Mark Sears has been as good as any player so far through two games, any player. So 55 compared to 36, that is a more than worthwhile wager if you don't have tickets yet. I'm holding a Bama preseason 50-1. So I'm not coming back in. But if, and I mentioned there was value on Bama before their game against Grand Canyon. But if you don't hold any futures, Sears at 55 makes a lot of sense. NC State, there are guys you can bet, but they're not going far enough. I apologize. They're just not. Houston has three guys you could look at in Cryer, Sharp, and then Shed. none of them are playing well enough for me to even consider this. And there's not enough of a gap for me to really want to be betting a Houston player. I'm good. I'm passing in that region completely. Dalton Connect is a very similar. If it's going to be Tennessee, it's going to be Dalton. They're 11-1. He's 16-1. It's just one of those things that if Zakai Ziegler has this preposterous final four, two games, I don't see enough value there. If 11-1 is good enough instead of the 16-1, I'm passing on that. We mentioned the Creighton trio with Joe Lisi, 65-1 on Shireman, Trey Alexander, and Kalkbrenner. I think Kalkbrenner over there, not just two tournament games, but maybe the five or six included heading in, makes sense. I think he could play well against the Vols. I'm not betting any Creighton players because I'm invested in Tennessee. They're all 65, though. Let's just say you love Creighton. Let's say you are a Creighton national title backer because this team is 23-1, and you're getting 65, right? If you play one of them, you're getting nearly triple the number. You can play Creighton and one of the guys. If you love this Creighton team, pick your guy now. Pick your guy now, and you can add another one if you want. If I had to pick one, it would be Kalkbrenner. Marquette is clearly Tyler Kolek. A 20-point double-double is just going to outweigh 25 a night, which is the best-case scenario for Cam Jones. He's not going to be able to cut into the Kolek workload. Iowa State right now, Lipsy has the edge over Gilbert, but they're the same price because Gilbert is close enough statistically through two games to pull away from Lipsy. I don't like Iowa State enough to be involved. McCain has jumped in front of where Kyle Filipowski would be. I say jumped in front. I know it's the first time we're seeing this market. Filipowski, of course, would have been booked in front of McCain. And the fact that McCain is 60-1 while averaging about 20 a game in this tournament, and Kyle Filipowski 65 while averaging under 10, it lets you know they believe Filipowski would be the engine. I don't like the matchup for Duke against Houston, so for me, I move past that. The Zags, three legit guys, Graham Ike, Ryan Nemhard, and Anton Watson. Nemhard might be a guy you think, no way with the points, but double-digit dimes is double-digit dimes. Watson's having the best start to this tournament, but you're getting enough juice on Gonzaga's national title price for me that if you wanted to play them at 27, I might feel more comfortable. Nobody's pulled away. The Purdue game's going to be the swing anyway. If you think Ike could light them up for 24, then you play some Ike. If you think Nemhard bounces back points-wise, then you play some Nemhard. That's how you would approach that team. So what's left for us to discuss are four teams. Alabama, UConn, UNC, and then Illinois. The Illinois story is this. Shannon Jr. is the guy. I don't know if any of the off-court stuff could impact the voting. The Mosque so far, for over his last like four games, has given you 18-8-8, which is great. He's 70-1 if you like the Illinois pathway. UNC. RJ Davis is 16-1. Baycott's 55. Through two games, let's do five games from the ACC tournament to now. RJ Davis is giving you 23 a game with under three assists. Baycott's giving you 18 a night with 11 rebounds. It's close. So 55-1 on Baycott compared to 16 on Davis. Baycott's the bet. Who do you think has the bigger game against Bama? Baycott can dominate inside. Davis might score 35 with that tempo. Because I think Davis could score 35, I wouldn't touch Baycott. Because even if Baycott gets chopped down, and I think the game is vulnerable enough, but I wouldn't play RJ at 16 either. I would step back from that range right there. On Arizona, Caleb Love is clearly their guy. He's 16-1 compared to plus 850 to win the title. The problem is Caleb isn't playing well enough to bet this. Like Edie's playing well, Klingon's playing well, Shed is at least putting up overall fine enough numbers, right? But Caleb Love's not playing well enough to bet him. If you wanted to take a swing on Bayo or Ballo and hope that he can get you a nice double-double, that'd be wonderful, right? That'd be perfect if you were to play Umar Bayo at 47, but I don't love it. The best bet in this market is on a UConn Husky. The most value in this market is on a UConn Husky. And I will tell you about that after the break because I don't want to run short. And we will take that conversation and we will work our way into a nice breakdown of date with Dave Sharapan and everything that he saw from the weekend that was. Quick update for you guys. Cavs Hornets, nightmare start, 20 all. Good thing it was a low total. Don't forget, the women's college game is live right now. UConn trying to stave off Syracuse. Caitlin Clark and Iowa start in about 25 minutes. We'll keep breaking it down next year. It's Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back with you right here on Sports Grid. It's Game Time Decisions. We're going to talk to Dave Sharapan in just a second, but I'd like to finish this out for the people. We went through the Brantley broken out Final Four Most Outstanding Player market. And there's co-favorites on the board with Zach Edey and Donovan Klingon at plus 650. And this is where the value comes in on Tristan Newton. Donovan Klingon is being wildly overpriced for a phenomenal game that he played against Northwestern. 14 points, 14 rebounds, 8 blocks. Great stuff. The tournament stats for these two, the same amount of points per game. Klingon 16.5, Newton 16.5. 11 rebounds for Klingon, 9 assists for Newton. So we are, dead even would be disingenuous because they would give it to Klingon if they were going to hand this out today. But we're right there. We're right there. Big East tournament. Donovan Klingon, 13.7 points per game, 9.3 rebounds, 2.7 blocks. Tristan Newton, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. Guess who won Big East tournament MVP? Tristan Newton. Guess who didn't make first or second all-team Big East? Donovan Klingon. Guess who was unanimous first-team Big East? Tristan Newton. Klingon has 3 games this season where he scored 20 or more points. Newton has 8. Newton has twice as many double-doubles as Donovan Klingon and multiple triple-doubles. It's a misprice. That's what it is. So we're always transparent. Let's get Dave in here because he's someone who can help me out with this stuff. Right now, I'm trying to figure out math, okay? I have no UConn. Can Sig? Okay. I have no UConn. Great to see you, right. By the way. Sun stuff looks
well.
Great. I have no UConn. I've intentionally had no UConn.
Mm-hmm.
But they then hung the Tristan Newton number, which I think is wildly off base. So we're now at a point where I'm trying to, okay, so I had this ticket, this is versus this, this is worth this. Okay, so we do this, and you just figure out what you can play it for. If you have no bets in the tournament, this is easy. Just bet Tristan Newton.
Yeah.
Figure that out. Yeah. We figured that out.
Yep.
That's what I'm working through right now. But Consig, from a value angle, Tristan Newton has the most of it for me in this tournament. Outstanding player market.
Nothing more than I love when you start talking with your hands and start looking like a conductor directing this. Yep. I got this over here and this over here. I really enjoy when you get crazy and start going like that. If you think they're getting to the Final Four, you got to have a piece of one. And if you think they think shot at winning it, you're getting it double the price that they are right now. I didn't look yet today of what they're adjusted to overall to win it, but they've been the favorite. What is it?
Plus 210.
That's it? What are we doing, K-Dub? Did they already win? Did they already get through Boston? They got 2 more games. Plus 210.
Well, that's why you can't. It's an unbettable number.
It's unbettable. It's right. Wow.
But 10-1 on the guy who's been labeled their best player by voters, we'll call it, that's way different. You know, Purdue has plus 650, Zach Edey, they're 6-1 to win the title. That's how it should be, right?
You just don't like the big men. You're anti-big men. You like to dribble back behind the 3 and shoot. You're a guard by heart.
You don't like the big men. Now, listen, I know you're busy. This means you weren't locked in last segment. I said Zach Edey can win this award without winning the tournament. I think Edey should have a shorter price than the Purdue national title market.
Purdue doesn't win the tournament and Edey can win?
Yes.
This award? Really?
There's precedent. It's happened. They have to get to the game.
They have to get to the final, right?
Agree completely.
Okay.
Let me just say, let's say they play UConn, right?
Yeah.
So we're sitting there, we're watching that game, and me and you were in the room debating Klingon and Newton.
Okay.
Two guys that are averaging 17 points and a touch under a double-double. And okay. The other guy is averaging 28-16 with three blocks and shooting 68% from the field.
I mean, if we're debating what they're going to vote, I mean, that's that, like, you know, if you based on the numbers, you give it to that guy with those numbers. That's, I mean, the numbers. But they don't always vote that way, K-Dub. How many times has it happened where the team that lost in the championship game, the guy won the most
valuable?
It
hasn't happened since Hakeem, 1982. But I think what jumps off the page here.
Wow.
No doubt. But here, what jumps off the page to me, so if you just look through the if you look through the remaining eight teams that Purdue could see, right?
Okay.
So let's go through them all. Ah, this stuff's the best. Let's go through them all. Okay? If Purdue plays Clemson, well, let's be honest, you're going to be delighted with the ticket. So with respect, we're going to move that along, okay? If they play Arizona, yes. It would be either what Caleb Love puts up or what Zach Edey puts up. Now, Caleb would have a chance. He's got to start playing much better, right?
Yeah.
But it's an interesting spot, right? Caleb would have a good chance, though. But he's got to start playing much better. If UConn gets there, we just said they're amazing, but they've got four of the top five guys inside that
multiple
market.
Options.
A lot of figuring it out. San Diego State has the guy in Ladee, no doubt. Yes. We got to figure it out. SDSU has the guy in Ladee, but with respect, similar to Clemson, if you take Zach Edey's plus 650 into that game, you're happy about it.
Yes.
You're fine with that.
Yes.
And again, I think Ladee would win it because here's why Ladee would win it. Let's just forget Hedging. If San Diego State beats Purdue, nobody's going to feel sorry for Zach Edey. That's on him. He should have beat San Diego State, right? If Zach Edey loses to UConn, people are like, oh, all right, well, there's nothing he could do. If Bama wins it, it's going to Mark Sears, right? If Illinois wins it, Shannon Jr., Domask, that's interesting. North Carolina has R.J. Davis. You would think that he would be able to get it. Yeah. Iowa State, I mean, their lead guy's giving you 13 tonight. I'm not giving it to Keyshawn Gilbert.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So I think when you look at it, because we agree they have to get to the title game, right? But first of all, how many teams are laying to them in the title game? Only UConn. So
that's
a headshot. And I think it's reasonable that he wins player of the tournament in a loss to UConn.
It's possible. Not likely, but possible. I mean, that was a long time that Akeem did it. That's a long time ago. Things have changed a lot since then. It's not that it's out of the realm of possibility. It's just it's so long since it's happened that voters would probably just go, give it to the
guy. Hold on. You know, it's funny, though. When was the last time someone won Player of the Year back-to-back years? Because he's about to do that. It was like 84, 85, I think, with Samson.
That's so that long ago? Wow. Well, they don't stay at school to win it back, but
that's the thing. He is an outlier. He's a complete outlier.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm not sitting here, because I don't want to waste anybody's time. You know, if Caleb Love averages 35 from here on out, he could win it in a loss. That's a waste of your time. That's a total waste of your time, because no, he can't. Because he's not going to average 35 the rest of the way here on out. And also, even then, nobody would care. Nobody cares with, again, not being rude, but no one cares about Caleb Love that enough.
No.
Zach Edey has been the most important player in college basketball for 700 days. That matters.
That does matter.
So that's the only reason I throw him out there, Dave. What else did you take away from the tournament's opening weekend? Was it bad for books as much as people say?
I mean, the money line parlay is all built up. I mean, I don't know when the last time it happened where 15 of the 16 games on a weekend, the favorites won on the money line.
Yeah.
There was only one favorite that didn't win. Baylor lost to Clemson. So, yeah, there's no sympathy for the books. Listen, people need one every once in a while. It's fine. The books will be okay. They had a really good football season. Everything's good. Books, it was hopping. I mean, I was popping around. We did our live shows at Resorts World. The place was packed. And then I went around to a couple other books to see some guys about some things. And it was a very festive atmosphere. I mean, the Big Ten, listen, the Wisconsin fans were bummed out. The Kansas fans were decimated. I mean, they were just completely bummed out. The Mountain West people, like, this is a Mountain West town. And the only team, there's only one team left playing, but UNLV's having a better run in the NIT. That's the buzz around town here. I mean, they got a shot at winning it. They got to play Seton Hall. That's going to be a hell of a basketball game on Wednesday.
Nah. 3.5?
Yeah. I need you to do some pre-con.
Wow.
Get JY on that thing. They're playing in the women's gym in a band box. Supposed to be a big home court advantage for Seton Hall.
Wake Forest loses. That's funny. I told you I never ended up playing those futures. Wake ends up losing their second home game all season in this tournament. Doesn't make it out of the second round. That's pretty bad.
Oh,
that's pretty bad. I didn't play it. I didn't play. All good. All good. No sweat off my back. Didn't happen as far as my eyes see it. Let me throw this to you quickly.
Yeah.
How much, you know, and they do this intentionally and it makes sense. There's games tonight and then potentially, yeah, so there's games tonight. There was games Sunday. Like 8 o'clock tonight, Caitlin Clark's playing, right? I mean, all the books now are hanging Caitlin Clark props.
You have to. Demand.
You know, where's it landing action-wise on a slate like tonight? Two hockey. The NBA board's atrocious.
Oh, it's tough. Tough board. There probably won't be as much handle on that in a lot of places as there is on the Brooklyn-Toronto game. You know, I just picked a game that started already and a below-average NBA game. Listen, there's real fatigue, K-Dub. There's a lot of people left, you know, heading back to the airport here on Sunday and just fatigue from basketball. It is wall-to-wall basketball for 4 days. And, you know, you forget things like Houston. The Rockets have won, what, 8 in a row, 9 in a row. They're playing tonight. Everybody kind of, like, wakes up today and goes, wow, what happened to the other sports for 4 days? I hadn't been paying any attention. So minimal handle today, minimal handle tomorrow as everybody ramps up to Thursday. I mean, I'm excited. I told somebody today, and I told Perrault on the show, we were talking about it today on BVB, the games are going to get so good. Not that we didn't have a lot of good games over the weekend, but the teams are good teams. We got a lot of good quality basketball teams. Thursday and Friday is going to be electric. A lot of juice.
A lot of juice. I think it's going to be interesting to see where these lines settle. It's just with all these top teams remaining, you know, was a window missed? Are we actually going to get all – because people are like, oh, we got chalk. Relax. We didn't get
– calm down.
Okay. All the one seeds and two seeds are here. All right. How many did you think were going to be gone? Two of them?
Right.
Relax.
Two most.
Relax. Relax.
What one seed is out first, K-Dub, as of today, in your mind? Which one seed is out first? Houston?
Purdue, but I like Gonzaga. No, Houston matches up well with Duke, I think. Dave, guess what? We're doing baseball tomorrow.
Yes,
sir. Best bet on the other way out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh with you. We close it out. Up next, Endgame Live. Make sure you are dialed in right here on the grid as the coverage continues throughout the night. It's a big week here on Sports Grid because on Thursday, it jumps off the page. With the beginning of the Major League Baseball season, officially, not the two games that were completely... I mean, what a... that may be nice. Baseball begins Thursday, and then... tournament coverage picks back up live out of New York City with Ben Stevens and Coach James Young. I'll be back Friday night. You will see me tomorrow, and then you'll see me again Friday night right here with myself, Donnie, and I believe Coach James Young will be in the fold a bit. But I just want to let people know
is if you want to be set for the baseball season tomorrow, Joe Piscopia, Craig Mish, Donnie Wrightside, all locked in. We're going to have baseball futures. A World Series pick, I'm debating still because I'm a little annoyed about the buys and the way those worked out. All right, but we'll figure it out. Some stolen base props. There's going to be good stuff on the board. All right, let's do a best bet for the NBA, and then maybe I'll show you my swing. Desmond Bane, over 2.5 made threes, plus money. What's that about? It's the book's overreacting just a bit. Two games under. Now he comes back and hits this over like he did in his first game back from injury. The key here is the opportunity for Bane. 31 games without John Morant. 20 of them, he's made three or more threes. More importantly, volume. 9 attempts in 2 of the 3 games since returning. And you could potentially bank on more tonight in a game with the Denver Nuggets. Desmond Bane this season, 18-3. 18-3 over 2.5 made threes in games where he attempts at least 9 from beyond the arc. That is what you will see tonight. Cavs Hornets is live right now. It's going not great. That's okay. It means maybe 2-0 the rest of the board then with Jazz Mavericks over 238. All right, let's line up my swing. I haven't swung in a while. I was golfing this weekend. Would you believe that? I was golfing this weekend. Can I still get in the batter's box here? It doesn't look bad. It doesn't look half bad, I'll tell you that. We'll knock it out of the park tomorrow. With game time decisions, the baseball futures are going to be live and popping for you here on Sports Grid. We'll see you then. Put a little game time decisions. Best of luck tonight in Game Live tonight.